Richard Ashcroft, Mr. Robin.
Morning, Ryan, counsel. May it please the court, my name is Thomas Robin. I'm with the law office of Ralph Shelley. We represent Mr. Ola Alade and Mrs. Alida Alade with regard to their appeal of a finding by the Board of Immigration Appeals. Mr. and Mrs. Alade are Nigerian citizens. They are both 37 years of age. They have four United States citizen children that have been born while they have been in this country. The appellants came to the country in 1989 and 1990, respectively, for Mr. and Mrs. Alade. They overstayed their visitors' visas, and they both eventually filed for asylum in 1993. Mrs. Alade's claim was administratively dismissed in 96. They both appeared before an asylum officer in 1997, and at that time their claim was refused and submitted to the Executive Office of Immigration Review for a hearing before an immigration judge. That removal hearing, took place in December of 1998. At that time, Mr. Alade testified generally with regard to activities he had engaged in when he was a student at university in Nigeria, his participation in various activities against the government, his participation as a leader of one of the radical student groups. Mrs. Alade testified with regard to her fear of past and future persecution as a converted Christian, having formerly been a Muslim, being in fear of certain radical Muslim groups in the country. The immigration judge denied both of their applications for asylum. He found that their testimony was not credible and that it was inconsistent. The appellants next filed a pro se appeal with the Board of Immigration Appeals in 1999, asserting that their testimony was credible. They finally found counsel to assist them in the development of their appeal, and in 1999 July, a brief was filed on their behalf, questioning the immigration judge's findings of or adverse findings of credibility, which was based upon lack of historic detail and references and lack of timely country reports with regard to both their cases. Appeal was also brought with regard to whether the transcript which was submitted to the Board of Immigration Appeals was sufficient on its face for the BIA to review whether the judge's adverse credibility finding was appropriate as to Mrs. Alade. And finally, a request for a remand to the BIA to investigate issues pertaining to the potential female genital mutilation which the United States citizen female children of the Alades might face were they sent back to Nigeria. All of these matters were overlooked. The Board of Immigration Appeals issued an affirmance without opinion and on August 6th of 2002. And that is where we stand at this point, Your Honors. I would like to address first the issue of female genital mutilation, or FGM, as it has come to be known.
Yeah, because here they didn't, even though it was raised, there was no petition filed asking the BIA to reopen.
Well, Your Honor, I would suggest that the reference and request for remand that was a part of the appeal should have been read as a motion to reopen, and certainly considered in that regard. Even though from a procedural standpoint it may not have been perfect, the issue was raised and was properly presented to the BIA. They chose to overlook it. This is a widespread practice in Nigeria. I think that the knowledge and the the awareness of not only the judiciary, but also the agencies involved has increased over the years.
Between isn't it usually done by the families?
Sir?
Isn't it usually done by or at the behest of the family?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's correct, Your Honor.
It's not a government.
Though. My understanding is that the pressure that is brought to bear is familial and social.
It would be informal, right?
Excuse me?
It would be informal. It would not be
informal.
From the parents in the first instance, wouldn't it?
Well, it may be informal in that regard, but I don't believe that a fear of persecution under the law requires that it be governmental in nature, but perhaps based upon...
I wasn't suggesting that. My impression was that this is something that families, the parents, want to do to their daughters. They feel make them more marriageable or something. If they don't want to, what happens if they don't want to? Are you suggesting there are social pressures that are hard to resist?
That is precisely the point.
But where is that?
The social pressure comes from elders and family.
But I mean, where is that in the record? Have you made an attempt to make a record?
That was the request that was made in the form of the request for remand made to the BIA. At that point, it's our position that the matter should have been sent back to the immigration court for the taking of further evidence with regard to this issue.
But now, for example, these people are Christian, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Christians don't do this. This is a Muslim practice.
I don't think I can respond directly to that, but my understanding, sir, is that the parents and the elders in the community are those who press for this practice. Regardless of the religious aspect.
I don't think Christians engage in this practice. It's not universal in Africa. This is, you know, it's widespread, but Nigeria is both, you know, it's dominantly Muslim, but it also has Christian community, obviously. So are you saying the Christian girls also undergo this?
It is my understanding, Your Honor, that it is extremely prevalent practice in Nigeria, and yes, that it may in fact occur to Christian girls, whether they have formerly been a Muslim or not. The mother, as I mentioned earlier, was originally raised in the Muslim tradition and later converted to Christianity. Her parents, if I recall the details of the record correctly, still practice Islam. With regard to the issue of the appropriateness of the Board of Immigration Appeals finding, the immigration judge, the Executive Office of Immigration Review, all of these agencies have vast resources and broad knowledge, and it's our position that where the safety and the possible brutalization of United States citizens is involved, those agencies have a duty to at least inquire and protect the rights of the citizens. Instead of a remand and an affirmance without opinion, we believe that the BIA had the duty to investigate all the facts and circumstances of the case, and if the record was insufficient, it should have been sent back to the immigration court. At minimum, this matter should be remanded to the BIA for findings of fact with regard to their decision-making process. We believe that the law regarding the availability of asylum relief to parents of children who are in imminent danger of this kind of brutal and possibly criminal act is still developing, and we believe also that the claimants may have a viable claim under the Convention Against Torture.
Let me ask you a question relating to the country report, the 97 country report and the reports from the 1980s. What information did you expect would have been in those reports that would have strengthened your client's case?
It is, not to evade the question, it's not just the later country reports that we question the lack of, but also the lack of historic information with regard to the conditions in the country at the time of the activities which Mr. Alade testified to when he was a student at university in 1986. It is the breadth of the lack of information from one end of the spectrum to the other that we question. Whether the judge seemed to predicate a great deal, the immigration judge seemed to predicate a great deal of his determination as to the credibility of the witnesses with regard to the status of the political conditions in the country. And I don't think that that could reasonably have been made without current information and historic information as well.
Well, could you answer Judge Williams' question, because it's mine too. Had a more recent country report been considered, what information in that report would have been favorable to your clients?
I don't know, Your Honor. All I can say is that it
I just finished reading the 2002 country report on the State Department's website. It doesn't appear that there's any information that would be favorable to your clients, but I may have missed something. That's why assistance from an advocate would help.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I don't have anything specific. Our question with regard to the lack of availability of information was merely that we felt that the evidence had been insufficient and that the judge's determination of credibility based upon that limited information was perhaps inappropriate
You can't point to anything in those country reports that affect the credibility of the witnesses. It would have affected the credibility of the witnesses.
Not anything in addition to what was presented? No.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Robin. Ms. Blair?
Hey, police court. My name is Robin Bly. I represent the Attorney General in this matter. I did want to point the court to the administrative record at page 166, and it's the State Department report, or the country report that's a record, and it does discuss that Christians are subject to FGM, just for your own.
Are or are not?
Are, FGM. But I believe it depends on what part of the country they live in.
Are subject.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And why shouldn't we treat motion that they did make? They didn't make the technical motion to reopen, but made the motion to remand for additional evidence. Why shouldn't we treat that like a motion to reopen?
Your Honor, when they file motions to reopen, they're required to submit evidence in support of their claim. They did none of that. The only thing that's submitted with that brief is two pictures of the children's passports, the picture with the information on it, and then also a birth certificate for a third child. There's nothing else in there. They haven't provided any other information. They just make this assertion and they attach those. That wasn't enough. They needed to submit something more.
Well, at the time, it was pretty well known that this FGM was a practice in Nigeria and certainly known by the BIA. I mean, I'm just making that assumption. This has been a major claim and a major issue in Nigeria for a while here.
Yes. The board requires certain things of the motions to reopen, and they were represented by an attorney, and they referred to it as their brief. They didn't refer to it as a motion to reopen. They didn't provide any documents other than what I've indicated, and just attach those to the brief, and that was it. There's nothing more, and they're not indicating. There's also stuff in the record that indicates that if a child's father does not want them to undergo this procedure, they usually are safe. So there was nothing to indicate just because they have female children that they would have to necessarily undergo this, based on that State Department country report. In addition, with regard to the State Department country reports, they argue that more should have been submitted, that background information, historic information, the burden was on them to make their asylum claim. It wasn't
on. Is it too late for them to file a motion to reopen?
It would be untimely at this point, Your Honor, but they could file a motion to reopen, and then they could appeal it up to here, or they could go to the district director and ask that he defer their deportation until their children reach an age where they're not at such a risk. You know, there's various things they could do. They haven't exactly exhausted their
Now, is Mr. Robin correct that Mrs. Alade had converted to Christianity from Islam?
Your Honor, the record is, the immigration judge noted that in her asylum application, she had indicated that she had converted from Islam. During testimony, she indicated that she was raised by her Christian mother, that she didn't attend the mosque. She attended the she attended church and that she had been raised basically a Christian. Mm-hmm. So it's a little, there's conflicting information in the record on that point. In addition, we would argue that they waived the immigration judge's reasons for their asylum claim. They never raised that in their opening brief. They never discussed the incredibility finding or the reasons they were found ineligible for asylum. They, you know, just now have started talking about it, but they did not talk about that in their opening brief at all. And we would argue that the court could affirm just on that decision alone, that reason alone. In addition, they argue that there were transcript problems, but they had to show prejudice, and there's nothing to indicate in this record that they were prejudiced or that the outcome would have been different. I mean, there was enough information for the judge to make the incredibility finding, and there was enough information for him to find that that they hadn't met their burden for asylum. Moreover, the immigration judge's decision is the one that's being reviewed by this court at this moment, and he didn't have the transcript before him when he made his decision. He rendered it right there on the spot, right after they had testified. So there was no transcript. He knew what had been said, and there's no difficulty with that.
Let me get spot going back to this FGM. You said their alternative was a motion to reopen, but that's too late. That would be untimely. So doing that would be basically a waste of time and money. This other alternative that you mentioned,
the district director.
The district director. That's a discretionary call. Are there any time bars?
I don't believe there's any time bars, Your Honor. I believe they could go today, tomorrow, and go and tell them, you know, I've been found removable. I have these three children, and explain the situation, and that the district director could make a decision based on that to defer their deportation. But they haven't done that. They've just baldly asserted it in their brief to the board without documentation, as I've indicated, and have just proceeded merrily along the way with that claim.
And to your knowledge, there would be no other procedural kind of bars if they went to the district director?
Not that I know of, Your Honor. Not that I know of. We would argue that the FGM claim was not properly raised, but if this court does find that it was properly raised in their brief to the board, that this case should be remanded to the board under the Supreme Court's recent case in INS versus Ventura. But we do think that this court could affirm the board's decision. If there are any further questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Byer. Mr. Robin, I think his time expired. Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.